had the privilege to go to Ambassador for 6 years. You say, how did you do 6 years? Well, I failed twice. No, I did the undergrad there, and then I signed up for the master's program, and I was really thankful. Basically, that means I read big books with no pictures, and it's like size 3.5 font. But it was a privilege to be there, and I'm so thankful for the former pastors, former missionaries, and evangelists and so forth that are giving of their life. Actually, some of them are still involved in local church ministry. All of them are involved, but some are actually still pastoring or still being an evangelist and so forth. And it's tremendous to see that. Our missions professor right now is in the Philippines, and he has served over there for over 20 years. And I'm so thankful for men and women who are giving of their lives to invest in the next generation. Been praying over this service, and I do believe that this is what God has for us tonight. I want to start by telling you a little story that happened to me last year. I had the great privilege to be in the Holy Land, Israel, for about 11 days. Our college, they hosted a tour. They're actually hosting another one this next year. And I had the opportunity to go over there and to be on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. I mean, the very area, the body of water where Jesus, called the disciples and he calmed the storm, and all that is amazing. Go to the empty tomb and be able to go to Damascus, to go to these Capernaum, these different places, Capernaum and Nazareth, all these different places. It's really amazing. But one of the things that I won't forget about that trip is that on the way back, we flew from Tel Aviv to Orlando, then from Orlando back to Charlotte, North Carolina. And on that last flight, I sat next to someone. And have you ever flown before? You've flown on an airplane. Okay, good, good. All right, well, you know when you fly on an airplane, you usually sit next to a stranger, right? And it's always the question, okay, are they going to be a talker? Are they just going to put their earbuds in and be lost in their phone, for the whole trip, or go to sleep or whatever, or read a book or anything? Anyway, so I sat next to this lady, and lo and behold, she's a talker. I had my book out. I mean, it was literally a book on soul winning, and I'm like, I do not want to be talking to this person right now. I want to be reading this book, but at any rate, I put the book down and start talking to this lady, and if I remember correctly, her name's Louisa. And it's just started talking about, where she came from and, what she's doing and all that. She said one of the things, she's trying to find peace. I said, well, how do you, you're trying to find peace? And she's like, she listed off some of the different goals that she had in her life. She didn't like the job that she currently had, but she knew that if she got promoted to the next position, she'd really like that. So that was a goal of hers. She wanted to get her master's degree in school. And then she mentioned she loved traveling, and she'd been to Turkey many times, been to Europe and all of that. And she wants to travel over the world. She even wants to go to Africa and help kids, either with the humanitarian aid, food, education, all of the things like that. So I looked at Miss Lisa and I said, all of you mentioned is good. I'm for education. I love to travel, and I'm all about, finding the right job that's for you. But if you're trying to find peace through any of those or all of those means, you will never find true peace. And she looked at me and she asked me a question I'll never forget. She said, okay, how do you find true peace? What a question. That's what we're going to look at tonight with the Lord's help. Philippians chapter 4, look if you would at verse number 7. We'll read this, we'll pray, we'll get into the message. And the peace of God, Philippians 4 verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for the book of Philippians and how it has encouraged me so much. I thank you for your word, how it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's a sword. And Lord, I pray that you would use your word this afternoon to work in our hearts, to help us. You know the needs that are in each and every heart. And God, I pray you'd meet them as only you can. We want to give you this service. I give you this message and ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're in the book of Philippians. When we talk about peace, the Bible records two different kinds of peace. There's the peace with God, and then there's the peace of God. You know, when you talk about getting saved, Nate was talking earlier tonight. I remember when I was 8 years old, I was a missionary kid to Ghana, West Africa, and I, one night on my bunk bed, I just was tossing back and forth. I could not get to sleep. I was so burdened about my sin. And I just started crying out to God. I prayed a very simple prayer. I said, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that my sin makes me deserve to go to hell. But you said that if I ask you to save me, that you would. So Lord, would you please save me? And as soon as I did, the burden fell off my shoulders. I know that I know heaven's my home, because I took Romans 10:13 to heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the peace with God. No longer being separated, no longer an enemy, no longer dying on our way to hell. But now we know that we're on our way to heaven. We have a hope of eternal life. We have the gift of eternal life, everlasting life. We've been made at peace with God. We have a relationship with Him. The Bible says in John 1, verse 12, that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, now being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of that relationship. No longer enmity. No longer an enemy. No longer on our way to hell, but a part of the family. A relationship with God. He is our Heavenly Father. That's the peace with God. That's the peace that Miss Louisa so desperately needed. But there's also a peace for the Christian. The peace with God, we can never lose that. That's eternal life. You can't lose something that's eternal. But then there's what's mentioned here in verse number 7, the peace of God. It's a different facet, if you would, of peace. What is peace? Peace is the idea of no fighting, having no loose ends, being complete, there being a completion there. So how do you find the peace of God? You know, we're looking toward the sweet by and by, but we live in the nasty now and now. How do we have peace today? How do we have the peace of God? How do we find true peace as a believer? Well, look, if you would, at verse number 6. Actually, verse number 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." I'm just now catching up. We have our dear friend Ron Hamilton is with the Lord now. He wrote a song based upon some of that text, "Rejoice in the Lord." I'm so thankful for his testimony. Verse number 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." He's coming soon, amen. Verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing. My first point comes out of this verse. It says, be careful. Now, I've used this illustration before where you say, hey, does this mean that you should run across the road and not look left and not look right? Is that what it's talking about? Be careful for nothing. Is that what it's talking about, Micah? No! Good answer. All right, you get 100 on that quiz. That's awesome. Okay. No, that's not what it's talking about. Okay, so what is he talking about? Be careful for nothing. Well, that word care right there. Sometimes when we wear a backpack, we have a burden on our back, right? We call it a care, if you would. It's the idea right there. Be full of care. It's the idea of anxiety. Be full of anxious care. Can I say it this way? Be worried for nothing. And that really speaks to me, convicts my heart. I mean, every time I preach this message, I'm like, oh man, I struggle with that. Because if I had a spiritual gift, it would be being a worrywart. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I will worry about everyone else's problems. You know, like everything that could, like, well, where are we going to stay this day? Or what are we going to eat? Or, you know, how is this going to work out? Am I ever going to get married? You know, how are these bills going to be paid? All that, you know, this health concern, whatever. All the different things in life that can worry us. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, be careful. Be full of anxious care. Be worried for nothing. So point number one, very simply, is don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He says, be full of anxious care. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. You say, whatever kind of problem it may be, don't worry. Now, there's a difference between a concern and a worry. I heard one preacher, he said it well this way. He said, You know, there are good concerns in life that we should have. A concern is something that you control. A worry is something that controls you. When you wake up and it's on your mind and it's weighing you down and it drags you the whole day long. When you go to bed and it keeps you up at night, it's causing that worry. It's causing you to lose your focus, and it's dragging, it's controlling you rather than you controlling it, if you would. Another preacher said this, and I remember when I heard it, I wrote it down. I said, wow, this is powerful. There are two things we should never worry about. You ready for this? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Two things you should never worry about. Number one, the things that are under your control. Okay, all right. Putting my shoes on. I don't have to worry about that. I can do that, you know, by the grace of God. I can be responsible. He's given me the opportunity to be able to do that. Going to work on Monday. Well, we're not going to work. Yes, tomorrow. How many work tomorrow? You know, so I know my mom's a nurse, you know, and then my dad was in the military. So some people, they don't take holidays. They just work, you know what I'm saying? But you know, whether it's Tuesday or whatever, well, okay, I can do that. You know, I can make sure that this happens. I can brush my teeth. I can take a shower. Okay, yeah, you know, I can wear deodorant. You know, these kind of things. Those are under my control. You know, I shouldn't worry about that test. Why? Because I can study for it. You know, I can. It's under my control. Some of these different things. You know, I have no idea what kind of questions is going to be in there, but I know some of the material. You know, it's relatively under my control. I should not worry about that. And then the second thing, oh, I got my pen out. Okay, what should I not worry about? The things that are under our control. And secondly, well, we should not worry about the things that are out of our control. It kind of sums up all of life, doesn't it? You know, sometimes I worry about so many different things that I have no control over. Well, if I have no control over, is my worry going to do any cotton picking good? No. It's not. Now, should I have a right concern for some different things? Should I be praying for some different things? Absolutely, 100%. I mean, we pray for elections, you know what I'm saying? We pray for health concerns. He's the great physician. We pray for financial struggles. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. All these different problems that come in life, yes, take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm so thankful that we have a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Take your worry, take your concern over to Him in prayer. But here what Paul is saying is, don't let that control your life. Be careful, full of that anxious care. Be worried, if you would, for nothing. There's a place in San Jose, California called the Winchester Mansion. It was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the gun company owner. How many have ever been to the Winchester Mansion? Hey, okay, I saw a couple people look over. So you know what I'm about to talk about. This place was built over 30 years, built by the widow of the gun company owner. A couple different theories regarding why she kept building. I mean, she kept ordering more renovations and kept doing it for 30 plus years. You know, some people, they said that, you know, she kept ordering more renovations because she said she thought that she would be haunted by the ghosts of those killed by her husband's weapons unless she kept building the mansion. Others think that Sarah Winchester thought she would not die as long as the building continued. Whatever the reason, she kept ordering more renovations, more construction. There are more than 160 rooms in total. Doorways and staircases that lead to blank walls, pointless rooms, all in a desperate search for peace that was ultimately doomed to fail. The problem is, today, people are still trying to find peace through equally fruitless means. We turn to pleasure, drugs, immorality, entertainment, all these different things, instead of the only one who can give us true peace. Let's not worry about things. Let's not say, you know what, I need to be in control of everything. You know, one of the things that I have to constantly give over to the Lord is that I try to be in control of absolutely everything. you know, and if I make all these different decisions and I fix all these situations and all these different problems, and I'll take on. Now, there's a difference between the responsibility that God's given you over some things, and there's taking on more than really is yours and what the Lord wants you to have. And that's what I can tend to do. I can tend to say, well, I need to control this, and I need to, you know, sometimes even manipulate situations and whatever, and I try to be in control. But peace is not being in control. Peace is knowing that God is in control and giving it over to Him. One of our professors, he's actually near Covington, I believe, Georgia. Dr. Ernest Childs, he's known for saying, live your life with open hands. Just give it to the Lord. Say, God, whatever you want from me, whatever you want to do. With this situation, God, I just give it over to you. It's the idea that's written down in song, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. That leads me to our second point. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Number one, don't worry about anything. Number two, give your burdens to God. Give your burdens to God. You know, whether it is a trial that you're going through, whether it's a health concern, and we all have them. My Aunt Kim, right now, you mentioned Kim, she's battling cancer up in Augusta County of Virginia. And one of the things that thrills my heart, my soul, is that they have a testimony for the Lord that they've just given it over to Him. They're seeking the right help. They're praying. They're on praying ground. But they just give it over to God. Man, that's a testimony to me. Whatever your situation is, whatever a health concern, a financial struggle, maybe there's a family situation, give your burden over to God. He's not up in heaven. He's not saying, you know what, you know, just I don't care about you. I don't care about all the details of your life. No, God knows about all the details of your life. And He does care. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows all the different situations that are going on in your life. He knows about your family. He knows about your work situation. He knows about the struggles, the pains, and the past that you have. He knows about all of that. And He cares for you. So many times in the Psalms it says that the thoughts that He thinks towards us, they're more than the sand that's on the seashore. God cares about you. So come to Him and know that He's a loving Heavenly Father that wants to hear what's on your heart. Doesn't want to hear some memorized prayer. He wants you to come to Him and be real with Him and just say, God, this is what's on my mind. This is on my heart. And I'm giving my burden over to You. Because He is the burden bearer. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Give your burdens over to God, whatever it may be. You're in some trial right now, give it over to God. There's some kind of unresolved situation that when you exit those doors, you know that you're going to face questions you don't know the answers to. Give it over to God, whatever it may be. Give your burden over to Him. And then lastly, verse number 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, literally guard, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number one, don't worry about anything. Number two, give your burdens over to God. And then number three, get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes back on Him. It says, through Christ Jesus. You know, I find it interesting looking at verses number 8 and 9. I see verse number 8 as kind of like a filter. How do you know what an oil filter is? Okay. Different stories I could tell about. Okay, I'll tell you one or two real quick. So I had this Bible college car, right? Everyone's first car, I think, is a Honda Civic. You know, and it's just, you know, it's held it. I literally held my car together by zip ties and a rope at one point in time. And I mean, it was on the last of legs. You know, it was a tough situation. But talking about filters, I remember one time that I didn't even know about, you know, these oil changes and whatever. And I was like, man, the car's not running well. So someone, one of my friends, they popped the hood up and they brought the dipstick out, and it was as dry as bread from 30 years ago. I mean, it was. I was like, man, this is no good, my friend. You know, like, that's bad news right there. Okay, so I was like, oh, man, I'm never going to do that again and whatever, you know. And another time, so I not only ran it dry, but then one time I was like, you know what, oh, I'm gonna keep care of this, you know. So I was like, oh, it's probably getting low. So I got one of those 5-quart things, you know, you spend less money. You already know where I'm going. Spend less money on it, right, because you get more bang for your buck, whatever. And I start pouring. And I'm looking at the top, and I'm like, well, it's not to the top yet. So I keep pouring. And you're like, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious, okay? You know, and this is what Bible College does to you. No, I'm just kidding. This is my stupidity. But I just kept pouring, and I'm like, oh, man, you know? And then it ran for a little bit, and then white smoke, you know, all over the place, and all like, oh, man. So anyway, could have been worse, could have destroyed the engine there, but, you know, long story short, was able to run it for a couple more months after that. But basically, I did both problems. Ran it dry of oil, and I put too much in there. We not only need oil, you need fresh oil. When you change it, you also need to change the filter. And the filter, basically the oil goes through it, make sure it's clean, so that when it goes to your engine, it's not destroying it with muck and mire and dirt and all that sort of stuff. Well, verse number 8 is like that for our minds and for our heart. It's the filter. It says, you know what? Any thoughts that go through a believer's heart, believer's mind, make sure it passes the filter. Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are good report? What sort of things are virtue? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If it doesn't pass the filter of Philippians 4 verse 8, then it's not something we should think about. You say, oh man, it's something that's dragging me down. Okay, well, check the verse, you know. Is it true? No. Well, then don't think about it. You know, is it just? Is it honest? Is it pure? Does it pass the filter of verse number 8? Verse number 8 is not given down as a command from heaven, you know, I don't want you to have any fun, so I'm going to give you this verse. No, it's given because God wants us to have peace. He wants us to live a life in close fellowship with Him. Look at verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He is the God of peace. He is the Lord of peace. He is the Prince of peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. There is no peace without the Prince of peace. And God wants you tonight, or this afternoon, today, to be living with the peace of God. You'll never know that unless you know Christ as your Savior. First of all, that's the peace with God. And if you're sitting here today, or you're listening via live stream, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, could I encourage you, don't put off that decision before it's too late. And then for those of you that do know Christ as your Savior, is there something that's going on in your heart, in your life, maybe a burden, a worry, that's controlling you, and in the morning it's on your mind, at night it's keeping you up? Could I encourage you to give that burden over to God? Get your eyes back on Him. I'll leave you with this verse. Two verses, actually. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. And Isaiah 48, verse 18 says, O that Thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had Thy peace been as a river, and Thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Peace like a river. You know, we sing that song, When peace like a river attendeth my way. Why does He describe it like a river? Because unlike, a lake, if you would, or a sea like the Dead Sea, a river is something that constantly is flowing. It's constantly coming. And you can know the peace of God when you give your burdens over to Him. When you say, you know what, I don't need to be in control. I need to realize that He's in control and submit myself to Him. Be responsible, but trust Him. Trust Him. and obey Him. Would you bow with me in prayer?